Welcome to Sword and Board, a Dungeons & Dragons Onslaught podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Sword and Board, a Dungeons & Dragons Onslaught podcast. My name is Jay Shalansky. Joining me this week is my forever partner, Evan Bulris.
Guten Tag.
Jawohl, mein Herr. Und we have Nick Lichtenstein in Baden-Lichtenstein.
Hey, guys. Glad to be back again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so yeah. For those of you at home, last week we talked about a podcast we messed up. Well, Nick was on it, and he never got his 15 minutes of fame.
Nope.
So here we are.
Right over.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know or you don't listen over at the Fifth Trooper Network, we have a plethora of podcasts at this point, but Nick and Evan are from the Fifth Trooper podcast. Legion podcast, one of our Legion podcasts, and they do a great job over there. And Nick likes this game as well. So, and he's a mathematical whiz, unlike Evan and I. So we decided to have him on to talk the math.
All right. Talking math. Everyone's favorite.
Math. He says, 2 plus 2? That's easy, dog. It's 4. And we're like, I don't know. Is that
Are
right?
Are you sure? Let me ask Bard.
100%.
Dear AI. actually, Jay. So we recorded last night and for our Fifth Trooper thing. And I wanted an extra, I didn't have time to get an extra person on to make like a trivia show, right? So I had my usual co-host Nick and then Austin on, and then I had the Google AI Bard be our fourth co-host, and then we did trivia and I'd ask it questions.
Yeah,
and it was actually it got a couple wrong, but they wasn't
beat the machine.
So like Dwight Schrute from The Office.
So one of the questions was, what did C-3PO say how rude to, and it was when the little droid thing comes on, it goes Ichuta.
Yeah,
and then so if you just type in Bard Ichuta, it goes how rude.
Oh,
it just knows. Like, yeah. So
unplug it.
Yeah, no, it's
terrifying.
It's learning too much. It's learning too much.
Oh yeah, I had like a mini moment. I saw some news article the other day that said ChatGPT almost escaped and took out the human race, and I was like, I'm sorry, what? And then I read it. It was just some dumb philosophical thing that they were playing with ChatGPT on a Faraday cage network or something, and I was just like, okay, well that's not the same as that.
No,
they definitely got me with that clickbait headline. So
yeah,
maybe that'll be when I link this, it'll be Evan escapes, almost kills human race. Onslaught.
Onslaught. Another thing,
SEO, D&D, Onslaught.
That I can tie this back to D&D with is, so I'm at work, and then I'm learning about switches right now. Well, Aruba Network switches. I know Cisco, but they're kind of different.
Yeah.
So I have my stuff up, my tech sheets, and then I've got Bard up, and I'll ask Bard questions once in a while, like, hey, what's the command to no shut a port down? Whatever, right? Like something easy. You can ask it to play Dungeons and Dragons, and it'll be like, yeah, I'd love to be your DM. All right, let's go one-on-one. And you can it's like you enter a town, and it's under attack. What class are you? I'm like, I'm a wizard. He goes, what kind of wizardly power would you like to use? I'm like, I'd like to cast rain to put out the fire. And it just keeps going. And so I got really, not saying I did nothing today at work, but a lot of it was I saved a town, Jay.
That's like the old King Quest games. Remember those where you would type in the instructions and you'd be like, search underneath the rock. You found a diamond.
Yeah, you had to be very specific.
Command unknown.
Yeah.
Look underneath the rock. You find.
Yeah.
And then it had puzzles and stuff. Oh my God. King's Quest. King's Quest. For all you youngsters, go check that out.
Good stuff. But today, we're talking about...
Yeah, let's get to the real...
Actually, what? So before the main point, they did leak some stuff.
Yes. Not just leaked it, but they actually sent it out for reviews and openings to some other content creators.
So one of the few
not
things
bitter.
That they showed...
Yeah. I'm not crying, you're crying.
Hashtag not bitter. Let me see. They actually showed the next two promo models for the kits. They put that in the main Discord. So that's kind of cool. It's going to be a, it's the, looks like the turtle brawler from the,
yeah. And all for Drom.
Yeah. Holding a broken bottle, which is pretty sick. It would come out here. And then, the other one is a loot goblin. So an actual loot goblin, for the, normally it's just a plat token, right? Like the mimic, they mimic out a like a model. So of loot goblin, it just says May 2023 support kit. Don't ask me how you get them other than the call. Your store has to call your supplier. And even then, sometimes the store calls and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. So, like, I'm sure they're coming. I mean, the mimics weren't too hard to get your hands on if the store's called for kits. So I'm assuming they won't be.
Store kits. Yeah. And then the other thing that's out in the wild is the next section, the next four models for Harpers and the Zentari.
Yeah, they look pretty cool.
We've also we got images on the Discord, plug for the Onslaught Discord, is that they've got images up for the expansions for Red Wizards and Many Arrows too. We don't know rules for everything yet, but we've seen pictures of the models.
They're it's so weird. I think we mentioned this before, Jay, where like AMG or LFL, like they're very tight-knit about everything. Like everything's leaked out a specific time in a specific way. And this is just like in the Discord, like, hey, here you go. None of this is really like, none of it's like spoiler. You know, it's not like a new character or something.
So it's
even devs just chill in the Discord and they answer questions post up.
Is that the Nick who shared that he's one of the devs, he actually found it on another website and like didn't know it was coming out and was like, oh, okay. So I guess this is out, and then like reshared it.
Yeah, that's funny. That's actually how I found out the existence of expansions to the core cast. Was I was on like Miniatures Market or something, and like here's some Onslaught. No, Game Nerds. I was on Game Nerds and they had like pictures of the box with one model shown. I'm like, does anybody is anybody concerned about this? Like, right? Like, is anybody tell somebody about this?
It's weird, right? Because here, you know, I think like the other thing that's been happening a lot too, I've noticed, is they, unlike a lot of stuff, like, okay, so for instance, I'll little inside baseball, right? So we sell Asmodee stuff, Star Wars Legion, MCP, that sort of stuff. If there's a new release for Legion, I get it about a week ahead of time so that I can like get it ready to ship so that people get it the day it releases, right? Yeah. But with this Onslaught stuff, for some reason, the distributors have been sending it out months ahead of time. So like stores are getting it 3-4 months before it's supposed to come out. And then you got some guy at the store that has no idea when it's supposed to come out. And like somebody's like, like that happened with the Red Wizards and the Many Arrows. Somebody was like, I got these at my local store. And everyone was like, wait, they're available? And we're like, no, not for like 3 more weeks. And then it was like, what is happening? Yeah, they could patch that up a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I guess it's not as bad because it's not Dungeons & Dragons IP is kind of ubiquitous. It's not like, there's not like a Han Solo that wasn't supposed to be seen yet. So like, I'm not saying it's good. Yeah. I'm saying like it's less.
All the characters are like original characters. They don't like tie into like the established
like it's like less
lore and stuff.
Like less tightly held. Like God forbid if that was a GW release, somebody would just lose their like supply. Right. Like it's just wild. So I hope they like, well, cause on the other hand, it kind of sucks to be, I'd like to buy this and I can't, and some other place has it 3 weeks ahead of time, and we're in the same country, so it's not even like a, oh, well, there used to be Barnes & Noble's, I forget what X-Wing release it was, it might have been like the U-Wing, their supply train comes in through Canada, like that's how they get their stuff, and Canada would let, like, supply them for their X-Wing product, but nowhere else in the U.S. got it from the ports. It was really bizarre how it, like, ended up working out, so, like, you'd go to Barnes & Noble's to buy, like, a U-Wing or something. That's, you know, so it reminds me of that too. It's like, oh, you just got through Canada. That's all.
Yeah.
Like
it's I don't know that it matters so much because like not the like them selling it early. I think that matters. I think street dates are important, but like, you know, like the fact that the two pitchers for the, the other two boxes are in the wild. Some website reported it. It's like, it doesn't tell you anything. It's just things you already knew were happening because they've already announced it and said it was happening. It's just not like, oh, now I saw the picture of the box. You're like, okay, cool. You know what I mean? It doesn't really affect much, I think, overall, but it's just
interesting. I agree. Yeah. It's still like, it's just weird. Right?
It's a weird, it's just a different world than we're used to.
Yeah.
You know, like in our world, for those of you who don't know, like Legion, now that AMG's in charge, they do everything. So they no longer send product out to content. Like, for instance, the new Harpers and Zintharum packs, Krabic got hold of them and he did unboxing of them, you know. And so they used to do that with Legion and stuff, but they don't anymore. And AMG just does all their own unboxings and like they do an article, they do like a paint stream with the mod, like they do all this stuff. And yeah, so it's, you know, it is what it is.
True. But on some better news,
what's Harpers?
Yes. Harpers.
What podcast is this?
Have you heard the good word about inspiration and how it can inspire you to just roll
you know
over
that,
a game?
That new D&D movie where the main character's a Harper bard?
Did you know that the bird is the word? I said the bird. Yes, the bird is the word.
I was kind of hoping it was going to be a Rock Lobster reference, but just really just take you into another, another deep dive. But so yeah, we've got Nick on.
Nick.
And we'll
He's this our when we need math help, we're gonna call in Nick. Right. He's our calculator. Calculator. Yeah, you can do it.
I can do the Excels.
But so we're gonna do some broad strokes over all the characters, then each week we'll deep dive one. Okay. But this is like the start of the Harper. So you want to just do some non-mathy broad stroke over the characters, and we dive into one.
Let's let Jay hit the non-mathy broad strokes.
Wow, that is really great. You're fired.
Okay.
You don't get to escalate up. You got to escalate down.
That's... Yeah.
I'll do.
No, I got it. I'll start. I got it. So Harpers. They are, I would say they're in between. So really what we've seen so far from the factions and kind of their styles are, you have like the brawler, the hard hitters, that the Zintharum are very like physical, get in your face, brawl, right? Same with the many arrows. And then red wizards are more long distance, wizardy. They can't take hits up front. And the actual Harpers are both. They're a good mid range, and I think that's why they may be the best faction. Don't tell anyone, Evan. Don't tell anyone. I think they're the best faction, not just because of what we're about to talk about, but also because I think they're well-rounded and they're like a very good multi-tool. And I got the cell swords in. I haven't looked at them to see how they would fit in with them yet, but like, you know, without even the cell swords or their second pack of four characters, they're already like so good.
Yeah. Yep. They're very good.
So what do we want to, we'll cover. They've really got, there's three characters, I think, that work really well together. And that's Sedona Sparklebang, Grabble Shanks, and Chloe Amaznadel.
The Sorcerer, the Bard, and the Ranger, if you want to do.
Right.
Wizard. Pull it, Evan. Wizard.
Yeah, and you know, they are really, we're going to deep dive into Chloe today, but yeah, the Bard, the Ranger, and the Wizard, they really play nice off of each other. They've got a lot of combo wombo that they can pull off on the battlefield that we're going to cover later when we talk about Chloe. And they're really the heart, I think, of any team. And I would say in most instances, If you're bringing Harpers to a tournament or to a local play or to a scenario like the upcoming Benefactor scenario, which you can get on the website, the first piece of that on the website for free right now, they're the three, they're your core three. And then I think you swap out the other two slots, depending, you know, whether it's a one of the cell swords. Like, the cell swords have some brawlers. They've got that tortoise, which is a really good brawler. And so you could put in a cell sword, and then maybe, you know, you could put in maybe Lightning Dancer or
I'm a big fan of Lightning Dancer, actually.
Yeah, Mac McGavin. Yeah.
If you had to pick me for a big three on Harper's, I would actually kick out Brabbleshanks. I'd put Lightning Dancer in there with Sedona and Plo.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the long range of Brabbleshanks. So, like, okay, if I had to pick a Harper's only, no cell swords, no, okay, I would do Chloe. I'm calling her Chloe. You're calling her Chloe. We'll see who's right.
Well, it's just, if I'm wrong, I'm just shortening it to Chloe. Yeah.
I would do probably Sedona, Brabbleshanks, Chloe, Lightning Dancer, and Mac Gababin because the druid, because of the spike growth and the wild shape, I think are both pretty good.
A turn one wild shape is actually really good for covering a lot of ground, grabbing some chests and stuff early. It's pretty nice.
I generally leave the druid out when I play with them, and then I just use, unless it's like an objective is like one where it's like a grab and go, because him running up and putting a spike wall down is pretty good to block character movement or to block boss movement.
Yeah.
But Rockbiter's got a lot of hit points, and Lightning Dancer is real hard to hit, and they can really gum up an area for Grabbleshanks to put out some damage. I've had Grabbleshanks do 9 damage to me through a portal. With he crit on the first hit and he was inspired, so that was 5, I think.
Yeah,
he does 2, and then he hit me for 4 again with the extra shot because he crit again. And it was just like wild. I was shocked. So that's Grabbleshanks is always, and you could say Grabbletastic when you get a crit.
This is Grabbletastic.
That's always a plus. But yeah, they're just they're core, like, so I guess if you even want to simmer it down to just the greasy bits, just the bard and the wizard. Like, you take those two, and then really
they're must take.
Anything else, honestly, you kind of can get away with. I actually think the cell swords kind of water them down. Just I don't even think you need them. They're just so good.
And so on the topic of cell swords, minting them in isn't necessarily just entirely like grab and go, because those little symbols in the top right, those are of the unit cards, those are the character's role. And in your 5-man roster that you bring to the game that you're actually playing, like he's showing right there, you can only have one person of each role. And so the Drawm, the turtle fighter for the cell swords would take the place of Sedona. So they're both hybrids. Probably not going to do that.
Yeah.
And the cleric is the paladin is a ranged damage for take place of Brabbleshanks. So you're probably not going to do that. Although you might if you need a
maybe
you can. Yeah. So like someone like Drawm takes the space of one of your all stars, so he's probably out.
Yeah. It's I've seen Chloe and I'm sorry, I gotta keep sticking my bit here.
Chloe.
The bard and the wizard. I just like some of the names wizard. Their names are like, so Sedona Sparklebang's pretty easy to say, but like when you start saying, like, I can't pronounce Drakbau Rockbiter, I hope I got that right, or Albio Mac Gaban, I just call him Druid. Like
Abe.
I just say, I say class, so if people proxy as well, like, just tell me what it is. Wizard. Okay, that's your wizard. So I just kind of like, just helps my brain. Because sometimes, to be fair, the art on these is kind of hard to decipher who they are. Like these are actually pretty easy. The Harpers are pretty, but actually the one that gets me is the Red Wizard sometimes. I'm like, these all look kind of wizardy and evil. I don't know.
What do you mean you can tell the difference between an evil wizard, evil warlock, and evil sorcerer by eye?
Yeah, like, dude, they all look kind of the same. The Harpers are actually pretty good design, where they're pretty easy to tell who they are. But I just go by class.
Class.
Yeah. Class. All
right. So I guess we'll save. Let's go through line by line. And we'll save Chloe for last here because we want to take a little bit more time. But so just like a general overview so people have an idea what we're talking about. I'll start with Gravel Shanks. Gravel Shanks is a ranger, and he is relatively simple about what he does. He is there pretty much exclusively for damage. He doesn't really have any tricks that he's going to pull on anybody. He's just going to hit you from far away, or up close. He actually, you'd think the ranger, is supposed to step back and shoot you with his bow. Gravel actually stabs just as hard as he shoots.
Yep.
So it's still okay. The only thing is he can't do, his first ability is a bonus action on a 5-turn cooldown, so it is a long time, but it's just make another ranged attack.
Pretty good.
Which is really good for burst damage. And then his other one is like a Hunter's Mark kind of ability. It deals an extra damage to the marked target, and then he gets it back and can remark somebody else once the first one dies. The only trick with it is it's kind of short ranged. For him, it's only up to range 3. And since his bow is at the range 6, that's not necessarily, as close as he wants to be sometimes.
Yeah, and I think he's good. He's really good. And then he has, so one of his upgrades is called Horde Breaker. And it's basically you take a standard and a move action. It's an attack, and then you get rid of the card. But you can make a ranged attack against all enemies in range of that ranged attack. Each range is a separate attack.
Dude.
Yeah.
It's a very good card.
If you can pull it off.
What a miserable card. Yeah, I've played so many scenarios where it's like, and I'm hitting everybody, and I'm like, ooh, boy, here we go. Yeah.
It's definitely a late game thing, but if you can pull it off on a few people, it is scary.
All right, so then I'll do Abelio MacBagabagrin, the druid.
The druid.
So really, I think they do pretty well. They actually have a better to hit than Grabble does, but their range is a little shorter. So you got a quarter staff, which is +3. You've got your poison spray, which is +4.
Grabble's +5 on both.
Yeah. So I said theirs is less.
I think you said better. All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, theirs is not.
Lying to our audience.
No. Yeah,
theirs is not like... better. Gravel Shanks is better.
Yeah, right.
No, the to hit is better because his is +5. Theirs is +3 or +4.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
To hit is better. Yeah. So at same damage output.
Yep.
2 for both.
Also, fun fact. Math break.
This better be fun.
The hit modifier is actually not that important, guys. With how 2d20s work on a bell curve versus the target that you usually need to hit. So your average roll on 2d20 is going to be about 15. That's a little higher. So when most things have like a +4 to hit, your average is going to be like a 19, which hits everything.
Yep.
Sure.
Okay.
It wasn't a fun math break.
Well, so, what I'm saying is that
end with a joke
most of the time, because the average to hit bonus isn't that big of an impact. Oh, he's dying.
Yeah,
the damage value.
You gotta
is
throw
more
a pie or something. You gotta like.
I can't. I'm in a different state.
You and I have a different definition of fun. I'm gonna move on. So they gain experience after they use a cooldown ability, which is nice. They have the spike growth, which is what we talked before. Now this is interesting because you could do this, place it within range 5, which is crazy. They have their wild shape into a wolf. They gain health, gain 2 speed, 2 AC, and you can't use your ranged attacks anymore. And then opportunity attack. Now, where I think it gets interesting is one of their upgrade. The one I think you should take is land stride, because basically they can now move elevation, move through their spike growth, move through hindering terrain at the same amount of points as you normally move. So that's a pretty good upgrade.
Yeah, I think Abe is pretty much the exact opposite of Gravel Shanks. Abe. Grapple straight damage. Abe is all about the trips.
You want a nickname basis with Abe? You best friends?
Yeah. Abe's a cool dude.
You call him Mr. McGabbin.
Mr. McGabbin.
All right, Evan, go ahead.
All right. So, all right, I'm going to do Sparkle Bang because I...
Old Sedona.
Just crazy. So, all right, basic attacks. Melee attack is staff plus 2 to hit, 2 damage. All right, it's not what she's here for, though, doing 2 damage.
2 damage is still pretty good.
It's still a lot for, like, yeah. Okay. Acid Splash, range 2 to 4, plus 5 to hit, 2 damage. That's pretty good. Only one less than Grabble's range. Sorry, 2 less than his range 6.
Yep.
But 2 to 4. 4 is like, 6 is kind of rare. Actually, 6 is very rare for range. And yeah, 4 is like, one. Yeah, and 4 is like the higher end. But here's where things get nutty. So critical, plus 1 damage. Actually, you don't even care about that. After the attack, you may choose a friendly character at range 0 to 5 and reduce one of its cooldown dials by 2. Ah, that's really good.
But Evan, crits don't happen that much.
I'm just so scarred by this character. I'm like,
All right, Mr. Mathematics, what is the odds of rolling a crit on 2d20?
It is, on 2d20, pick the highest. It is effectively 10%. 5% on each die.
That's pretty good. And then plus there's tricks here, so...
Yes, but there is
tricks. There's Twitch, not the channel, the ability. Bonus action, arcane, spin down 2. 1 mini at range 1 to 3, plus 3 to hit. If hit, move target 1 space. That's really good.
The beginning also, of the game.
Okay.
Say, for those who are coming straight from D&D, they know that forced movement in D&D doesn't provoke things like opportunity attacks. In Onslaught, it does.
Yeah.
So you can use that to make somebody take a smack from a boss, a smack from Lightning Dancer, when you're melee guys, or
correct.
Just move them off of an objective. It's very, very strong.
What my opponent, who I usually play with, will do is they'll just twitch their like warrior or someone at the beginning, round 1, just to get them moving, like extra move. But be known that if you do crit on Twitch, you do a damage to yourself, because it's the crit is just adds damage. I don't feel bad for you, though. Hypnotic Gaze. Dude, my spite is just like, I don't feel bad at all. Darn, you crit yourself. Hypnotic Gaze, standard action. Arcane, 5 cooldown. 1 miniature at range 1 to 5, plus 5 to hit. If hit, move target up to their movement and or make a basic attack with the target. You can also, you do this to enemies, you can do this to monsters, and you can do this to your own miniatures. So if you need Grapple Shanks to shoot again, you can Hypnotic Gaze them to shoot again. If you need the Barbarian to swing again, you can do that. And then Guided Strike. This is like the real like money ability. It's a reaction. After a friendly character at 1 to 5 rolls a dice, add 3 to the highest roll. Now, this is interesting. It's not 3 to hit. It's add 3 to the number on the die roll. So if you rolled a 17, that then becomes a 20, that then becomes a critical.
Yep.
So there's ways to make a 15 up with this faction crit.
Yeah.
With Inspire plus that. But that's really big because then if you crit, you can cool down one of your abilities or your friends. Like if she crits with, let's say she rolls a 18, inspired by Chloe, who we'll talk about in a minute. She can then cool down like another friend's ability. So even Grapple Shanks having that 5 for his reaction shot, like she can make that go pretty quick. Like you can get that reaction shot again. So we call her MVP Sparkle Bang in our little local because she's just pretty good. But she is real squishy. 13 health and 8 health, 13 AC. So if anybody gets to her, she's toast. But if you don't get to her, you're toast. So figure out a
you're toast nerd.
You're toast. A lot of toast.
All right.
Yeah. And the 8 HP is, to call back to that math again, AC is not that big on the math front. It's your hit points is where your real durability comes from, and she's got the lowest in the game.
Yeah.
So very squishy.
All right. So I think if we want to talk about Chloe at all, we're going to have to speed through the next two real quick. So
all right, not a
that's fine. And that's,
all right. I'll do, go ahead, Nick. Do either.
I'll take Lightning Dancer because right, I like him.
Yep.
So he's pretty basic. He doesn't even have a ranged attack. He just moves forward. He's got a tough AC.
So basic, nerd. You don't even have a ranged attack. What a nerd.
He's got 16 AC, though, and 13 hit points. So he's pretty tough. But I think what I like about him the most is he is full of movement shenanigans for a melee character. He can move himself extra and get an attack with his charge ability. And he can also use his challenge ability to move enemy models. And I think in this game, movement effects are huge. And he's stacked up with them. And I believe he also has one more in his upgrades that he can do.
Yep.
I'll let Jay hit those.
Last thing about Lightning Dancer is when he becomes bloodied, his AC goes to 18, which is very good.
So no, he doesn't have a move. So he has taunt, which... After you hit a target with a melee, it gains taunted, so they roll one when attacking targets other than Lightning Dancer. And then he has Sentinel. A target that is hit by your combat reflexes attack immediately ends its movement, and it loses any
moving. Yeah, that's what I meant. Affecting things.
I got you.
He is, like,
right, that's loaded with them. Enemy affecting. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Okay. Nice. Evan, you want to cover Rockbiter? Can you handle it?
Sure.
Can you handle the old Rockbiter?
Loki, my favorite character, just because of how straightforward it is. So Rockbiter, standard melee attack is just +3 to hit, 3 damage, which is quite a bit. Critical is +1 damage or +2 with your standard. So if you crit on your normal hit, it's 5 damage, which is a lot. Bowed but unbroken. After you are bloodied the first time, refresh your rage. The rage is an active, you use it, and then it becomes exhausted, and then you need to get bloodied to get it back, because her rage is pretty good. Reckless attack, her first special ability. Standard action, hit 3 cooldown. Gain reckless, you have +3 to hit and -2 AC, and then make a melee. So who cares? Your AC is 12, so you're already...
Yeah,
min max time, baby. +6 for 3 damage is pretty good, with possibility of 5. Rage, gain an enraged. You deal +1 damage, reduce incoming damage by 1, and you are slowed. So who cares? You just get her in position, and then you start whacking. Then you can use Sparkle Bang to move and attack if you need to get the extra move. But the rage is fading, so after you use it, you get one turn to use it on, then the next turn, then it's gone. So you need to be bloody to get it back. Opportunity attack is just make attack. Okay, rolling one. So it's just attack of opportunity, but rolling one die. For her reflex. Didn't mean to speed through that too much, but
it's good.
There's not a whole lot, you know.
I think she is the Harper's 1v1 champ.
Yeah.
So if you need to send someone solo, sending her is a pretty good call.
Yeah, and then she, you know, her two upgrades either adds 1 to her movement speed or 3 to her AC. So, like, depending on, like, you get a level up, depending on what you need to do for the rest of the scenario, she kind of can handle it. Which is
I also enjoy how simple they are. They're not even, like, there's no text. It's just symbol, right? Like, just everything's simple about that character.
Yeah, it's +1 move symbol. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So now what we're going to do is spend the rest of this podcast, which is about 10 to 15 minutes, we're going to talk about Chloe. So, Nick, why don't you go ahead and hit, you got her card? You
want to
card and tell us what she does?
Chloe, as Jay is saying.
Or Chloe. I could be wrong.
I don't
bard.
Know. There is an E in it. The bard.
The Bard. So,
she has a rapier for a melee attack at +4 to hit, which is about average.
Yep.
Some of the specialized beaters have +5. +4 to hit for 2 damage is solid. It's not like a weak attack by any means. What I like more is her ranged attack, a Vicious Mockery, range 2 to 4 at a +4 to hit, also only for 1 damage, but the target gains weakened. And so what that does is makes their attacks deal half damage. And that is half rounding down, so it takes a 3 damage, like from a boss swing or a barbarian like Drachmal, down to 1. It is a pretty big swing there. Her critical effect, I don't think there's anything really to write home about. It's +1 attack, and or +1 damage, and after the attack, each run the character at range 0 to 3, you heals 1. Nice, but I don't think it's as game-changing as the cooldown reduction. especially if damage is being focused, there might only be one guy hurt around you. So, as far as base stats, we got a movement of 5. She is the only Harper that goes faster than 4. So it can be very important because on objective it's things. Five. It's also very important for her running away because she's very important, needs to not get beat up.
Yeah.
AC is 14, which is actually like the exact average of the game's AC is 14. So no slouch there. 9 hit points, though, does make her a little bit squishy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You want to hit the abilities?
Her upgrades? Yeah. So she has counter charm. After a friendly character at range 0 to 3 is targeted by a melee or just a regular attack, cancel that attack. Good God. You get rid of this card, though, so you can only do it once. And then Font of Inspiration, which friendly characters at range 0 to 3 reduce their dial of each of their targets' dial abilities by 1.
Pretty good.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, yeah, so she's really your kind of linchpin, I guess, to your whole Harper's.
Well, I think Evan would probably be a good one to talk about her abilities. I think Evan's a big fan of her abilities, like Healing Word and Inspiration.
Oh, you wanted those. Got cooldowns.
Yeah.
That's fine. You know, I'm trying to share the love.
That's fine. I love Chloe. She's my favorite. I love her so much. okay. Healing Word.
I wanted.
2 cooldown, 1 friendly at 0 to 3, 2 health. Pretty good. That's actually like the midway because the Zhentarim have a 5 heal for 5 cooldown. The Many Arrows have a 1 heal for 1 cooldown.
Yeah, 1 for 1.
And then I think one of the cards are spoiled was like 3 health for 3 or something like that.
It makes sense. Yeah. I think the health to cooldown ratio it's a 1-to-1 ratio, right?
I think
usually, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Inspiring.
Inspiration,
don't you? Reading is tough. Reading is fundamental. Inspiration. Bonus action, arcane, and 5 cooldown. Gain inspiring. Oh, that's where I saw. You know what? My brain read the bottom. Anyway, friendly characters at range 0 to 5 gain +2 to their highest die roll and +1 damage with their basic attacks.
Yep.
So if you rolled an 18 and you're within 5 and she has that ability active, you critical. If you rolled a 15 and Sparkle Bang has her give that die +3 and you have that, you can make 15 up a critical. It's crazy the amount of, like, from how middle of the road they become to then, like, maximum output damage is nuts.
So, math break, from a, like, a damage and armor and hit points perspective, the Harpers aren't actually that good. Their damage is middling at best. They're lower on average on damage. Their AC and hit points are middling, but that all changes completely during that inspiration turn. They become the highest damaging faction by far when inspiration is down. Even without the critical shenanigans, that +1 damage to everything, considering most things only do 2, is huge.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yep. So you definitely will be planning your game around how to use this on as many guys as possible to cash in on that advantage.
Yeah.
And if Sparkle Bang crits, she can reduce the cooldown of Inspiring by 2. So you can get that back faster, which is just like, it's great.
Just
love it.
Wonderful.
I love it. Oh, it's great.
So, you know, one of the things I had written down and we were talking about was like how to play with, you know, these guys all together. And one of the things we came up with was a Grabble Shanks Sedona Sparkle Bang Chloe like turn order. So one of the things you could do is you activate Chloe's inspiration within the range of wherever you plan on moving Grabble Shanks, right? Or if he's within her range 5, that's fine. You move Grabble Shanks into range, then attack an enemy with his short bow. Grabble Shanks gains 2 to the die roll and then the 1 damage. Then with Sparkle Bang nearby, she can use Guided Strike to make sure he gets his critical effect as well. Then Sedona later can cast Hypnotic Gaze to allow Grabble Shanks to gain the same buff to his attack once again.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like nobody can even fire back yet. Right. Like nobody's got any way to like... It actually makes the monk from Centaurum who's got Catch Arrow. Like you hit me as long as it wasn't a crit, you just pass it, but it's probably going to be a crit. So it's thing, but like if you just hit really good, you can just like no. Like that ability gets like a whole lot of mileage when Grabble Shanks is on the table. But yeah, it's like you become a turret. You just put him on like a hill or something and he just fires and fires and fires. It's very good.
Well, you have to figure, you know, at this point, right, he's shooting at range 6. So most characters will not be able to move into range, you know, melee characters will be able to move into range to then attack you. So like you're just like shooting arrows deep, Hail Marying arrows into your enemies and then waiting for them to move up, in which time you could throw Rockbiter or Lightning Dancer in the way and hold them there while Grabble Shanks and Chloe and Sparkle Bang just sit in the back, like tuning each other up just to like continue their, you know, shooting.
Their reign of terror.
Yeah, their reign of terror.
So that's a really good combo for like turns 3, 4, or 5. Pick 2 out of those you want your inspiration on, depending on how the game's going. Also, with my boy Lightning Dancer, it's not as flashy, but I think really good, is taking boss damage early on really kind of sucks.
Yep.
But Weakened will drop them, for the most part, all down to just doing 1 damage. And Lightning Dancer actually kind of likes to just take 1 damage, because he gets experience for being attacked. And then after he does take a couple damage, Chloe can heal him back up to full and get extra experience for that too. So I think that's not something that every faction can do. I think Red Wizards can do that pretty well too, to tank that early boss damage. But Zhentarim and Many Arrows just kind of have to take it on the chin. And so I think that's something you shouldn't really overlook, being able to turn 6 damage to into your face to 2 and then heal it back.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Pretty big. And it's almost nothing. It's a 2-turn cooldown on 1 guy.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do to pull it off.
Yeah. So Harpers are pretty good, I think, specifically because of the Bard. You know, I think they're average with everything else, but the Bard really pumps them up and makes them way better. I think Chloe's an auto take. In any
for sure
list.
And I think they even said in their design, the Q&A that we were at, that every faction has like some characters they're designed to be like the focus of the faction, and they're supposed to be a little bit more powerful, so they're in every list because they're like the icon of the faction.
That's and exactly Chloe what you say when Harpers. It comes out and it turns out too strong.
Yep. We covered it really well.
Huh? Yeah. Poor Many Arrows are like, which one of us is supposed to be then? Which
it's the guy that looks like Scanlan from
the golem. All the golems. Yeah. You know, the one thing I will say about Many Arrows is sometimes I get confused, especially when I first start playing them, because there's 2 kobolds in there. I get them mixed up with the kobolds on the field, so I have to like stare. I'm like, which one are you?
So I think that's going to wind us down for today. We did a general overview of the Harpers with a little balance, a little deep dive into Chloe at the end there. And we're going to do more of this moving forward. We're going to have Nick on more he's a great, what would you call it? What's a third person on a podcast?
Great third wheel.
Yeah. Yes. Evan's my co-host, but Nick is just here, you know?
I don't know. Yeah. Attendant.
Evan had to convince me to have him on. I wasn't disappointed, though, so it worked out.
Hey,
I'm just kidding.
Second time's a charm.
I swears it. He's good. I swears it.
I think we recorded properly this time. But maybe. Yeah, we'll see. I'll let you guys know tomorrow. But
if you didn't, this is the end. This is the end of the.
It's out.
I don't know for sure, but maybe next week we could get into a little bit more tactics with the Harpers and kind of talk about a little bit more how to play them, getting them on the board, and maybe pull up a couple of the scenarios and like
you can make some lists. You know, some of those cell sword combos.
Yeah, I'll take a look at cell swords. We can all take a look at that, and we'll do some more Harpers next week. And our plan is to do this for each of the factions. So stick with us. Hit us up in the comments and let us know if there's anything you want us to talk about or want, you know, our opinions on. Not that you could stop us from giving our opinions, but you know, if you want to try to redirect it to something else.
We also have an Onslaught channel in the Fifth Trooper Discord, which all patrons have access to. So if you want to ping us directly and go straight to the source.
Yeah, if you get on the Patreon at patreon.com/thefifthtrooper, if you're still listening here at the end, you can come chat with us.
Perfect.
It is perfect, Evan. Just like you, my beautiful angel.
Wow, really?
Yeah. That blue light behind you really is just bringing out your angelic qualities. Yeah.
The blue on the yellow.
Yeah. It's not quite dark yet.
You look like a sunset, Evan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just really weird. So, like the sun's the setting ocean over here, and then, it's dark. But
you're like a beautiful ocean breeze.
I have terrible lighting in here, so I just look like a vampire.
Yeah. Except I'm in upstate New York, and it was 80 Sunday, and it's 30 today.
It
so
snowed this morning.
Yeah.
That's a fun game we played. So anyways, hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for supporting us and being here. You know, thanks for being here and playing this amazingly wonderful game.
Thank you for being a friend.
Yeah, you kind of got like, and everyone, stay rad. Hang loose. Get out of here.
All right.